Well, if you have your Bible, then I would encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. I'm going to read through this whole passage, but my focus will be on verse 9. So, Colossians chapter 1, I'll begin by reading from verse 1. So, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and inerrant word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his might, glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Well, today marks the very beginning of the year 2023, and the new year represents a fresh start and an opportunity to set new goals and resolutions, and this can be a motivating factor as people just generally feel energized and inspired to make positive changes in their lives. It's a time when I suppose we go through a reboot or a reset of our life. And so I want to launch 2023 with a mini-series called My Prayer for You in 2023. My prayer for you, Oak Ridge Baptist Church. It's the same prayer given to you by the Apostle Paul for the Colossians. And so today we'll cover verse 9. And my simple point of this message is that I pray that God will fill you with knowledge, with the knowledge of his will this year. And before I begin expounding this passage, it is important for me to lay down the context. And that's because Paul begins here in verse 9 with "so." Other translations would say, "for this reason." This helps us to understand why Paul was offering his prayer and petition to God for the Colossians. What was Paul's reference here? Well, the Apostle Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. And he heard from this man named Epaphras about the church in Colossae. And Paul knew nothing about this church in Colossae because he did not personally plant this church. Essentially, Epaphras gave a positive report to the Apostle Paul about the Colossians. He told him how the Colossians were trusting Christ and bearing fruit to the glory of God. Paul also heard from Epaphras that these Colossians became the church that is filled with love for all the saints, for all the believers. Now, more can be said about the challenges that the Colossians were experiencing in their historical context, such as the infiltration of false teachings and how Paul needed to instruct them with sound doctrine. But overall, Paul was enthusiastic. He was happy by the report because of the Colossians' faith. Therefore, Paul begins this letter but with thanksgiving to God for the church from verses 3 to 8. I wonder, brothers and sisters, if Paul were still alive and were to write a letter to Oak Ridge Baptist Church, will he begin with thanksgiving for you? Will he be thankful to God because of your faith in Christ Jesus? Or it can also be translated as because of your faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Will he be thankful to God for you because of your love for all the saints, for all the Christians? If you are exemplifying the faith and the love like the Colossians, it helps you understand why Paul never ceased to pray for the Colossians here. See, this idea of prayer is rather convicting, at least for me. The reason is because when the church is just becoming healthier or just in a good, going through good times, going through healthy seasons, sometimes we may think that the church, does not need prayer. Most of the time when we pray when there are problems. Problem in the family. Problem in the marriage. Problem at work. Problem in the church. Problem with this person that we don't like. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray when there are problems, when we face problems. But the Apostle Paul shows us a fresh way of looking at prayer. He's not just thankful to God for the Colossians and then move on. But that motivated him to pray unceasingly for them and never stop forgetting to pray for them. Paul was a man of prayer. He demonstrates his prayer for some of the churches in other letters as well, such as in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. Paul said this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." How is your prayer life lately? Here in Colossians, Paul specifically prays to God that the Colossians may be filled with the knowledge of his will, especially in light of the threat of false teachings. So I suppose you can look at Paul's prayer as an exhortation for all of you not to fall into complacency in your walk with Christ. Rather, this is a prayer for you to continue to grow in your knowledge of God and not stop in that endeavor. See, knowledge is important. The opposite of knowledge is ignorance. Now, knowledge is important because it helps us to make informed decisions, solve problems, understand the world around us, improve ourselves and help others. And so we can learn that knowledge is practical. Knowledge is not merely knowing theories, although there is an aspect of knowledge where it is all theories. But generally, knowledge should be practical. It should have practical application for our lives. Like when you study for school, you should be able to apply what you've studied in school into the work field. For example, in the Old Testament, God instructed the Israelites to construct a tabernacle, a giant tent where God will dwell with his people. It says in Exodus 35, verse 31, that God filled this man, Bezalel, with the Spirit of God, with skill, with knowledge, and with intelligence, and with all craftsmanship. For what purpose? To build the tabernacle. For the Apostle Paul, he's praying that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. For what purpose? We'll look at verse 10 next Sunday, but it says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The Bible views knowledge as foundational to godly living. Knowledge is an important theme in Paul's writings, but especially in this letter to the Colossians. Paul talks about knowledge again in verse 10 when it comes to godly living and growing spiritually, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then later on in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, he talks about the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And then later on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul talks about how Christians are to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after its creator, the image of its creator, namely God himself. But Paul here is not speaking in general knowledge. He's talking about the knowledge of God's will. Now, the false teachers in this letter might have promoted the proto-Gnosticism in Colossae, thinking that there's some sort of secret and higher knowledge to a deeper spirituality only for the privileged class. But Paul counters that kind of idea later on in the letter. He says this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." See, God's will is not discovered in secret knowledge. He has revealed his will to us in his word, in the Bible. Hence, we need to have our minds renewed by the word of God. Paul said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, not knowing God's will is you walk in foolishness, because we live in a dark and sinful world that's constantly tempting us and dragging us away from God, leading us to more and more foolishness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." Why? "Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." See, one cannot ultimately know the revealed will of God without knowing Scripture. But when you're continually knowing God's word and be so absorbed and so filled with his knowledge, you can say what the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart." Now lastly, Paul says this in verse 9, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." See, wisdom and understanding are often connected together in Scripture. What this means is that believers who comprehend the knowledge of God's will through his word will know how to live practically and wisely in their Christian life. Or to put it another way, Douglas Moo, he's a New Testament scholar, he comments that the combination of wisdom and understanding suggests the ability to discern the truth and to make good decisions based on that truth. In other words, as your mind is being renewed with God's knowledge, you should be able to make good decisions that don't contradict with God's revealed will in his word. And so the Apostle Paul prays for the Colossians that they may be filled with God's knowledge. That's also my prayer for you. You do not want to be ignorant of God's knowledge. Now, some have said that ignorance is a bliss, but not in this case. Not in this case. See, listen closely to what God said to Hosea regarding the Israelites and the priests in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you, the priest, have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Why did the Israelites lack knowledge? It's because the priest, whose responsibility was to teach God's law to God's people, rejected knowledge, which was referring to God's law. So in application, you know, my responsibility as a pastor is to give you the word of God, to give you knowledge, so that you shouldn't lack knowledge unless you choose to be dull of hearing and to put God's word aside. Failing to know this knowledge can have consequences. It implies that verses 10, if you look back in Colossians chapter 9, it implies that verses 10 and onward will not be true of you. You will not be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You will not be able to live a life that pleases your God, who died on the cross to save you from your sins. See, no genuine believers, no born-again believers would desire to and purposefully displease our God. Nobody would desire to do that. Only rebels would intentionally rebel against God. Even though I recognize that even as Christians, we do fall short on a daily basis, but that is not an excuse to take God's grace for granted by continuing in our sins. That's not an excuse for us not to repent. See, God fills you with the knowledge of His will, and He does so through His inspired word, His special revelation. It is proper then to interpret this prayer that the Colossians may be filled with God, by God through His word. And then later on, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 16 of Colossians, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I argue that knowing God's word is essential and practical for Christian living. And so in order to be filled by God with knowledge, you are to be exposed to God's word on a regular basis. And that's the key here. But how? How can I continue to be exposed to God's word on a regular basis? Well, let me offer you three practical steps that you should take to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And also, I'll offer you a bonus step, but that'll be at the end of the sermon, so you better be paying attention. So first, there's reading the Bible. Second, there's hearing the preaching of God's word. Third, there's participating in the Bible study or a small group, whichever term you want to use. But let me be as practical as I can be. Let me be as down to earth as I can be in this message. First, read the Bible. Reading the Bible. It's the new year. Many Christians will start the new year with a resolution, which is to read through the Bible in a year. I'm not sure how many of you are planning to do that. But if you are a busy Christian and you just generally have not been reading the Bible regularly or even daily throughout 2022, you don't have the discipline. Here's my recommendation to you. Don't be too rigid about following a one-year Bible reading plan. Now, I personally look at one-year Bible reading plan like swimming at the deep end of the pool. No beginners in swimming would try to swim and float at the end of the pool without the floaties. They could try, but they may not know what they're doing, and they get tired fast, and then what happens? They'll start to drown. That's how I usually look at Bible reading plans. If you're a beginner of the Bible, I would suggest maybe try something else. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading plans. I personally use one myself. I love Bible reading plans because I think it's helpful in setting goals, and hopefully it motivates you to finish reading the Bible in 1 year. But the possible downside of using a Bible reading plan is that you may bite more than you can chew. See, when you fall behind, you try to play catch up, and then you fall behind again, and then you may beat yourself up. And you just eventually, I just give up on this whole plan. Can't follow this anymore. And then you maybe feel guilty throughout the whole year for failing to follow this plan. And then so you wait until the new year to recommit yourself again. Please don't do that. The point of reading the Bible and following a Bible reading plan is not following a strict, rigid schedule. The point is about being in the Word regularly. Reading the Bible in 1 year is just simply a goal that you set for yourself. Reading plan is meant to serve you, not the other way around. You don't become a slave to the plan. If you fall behind, that's okay. If I can admit myself, I fall behind myself. But that doesn't mean I give up. You just pick up where you left off and just continue. How many of you have tried to read through the Bible and you get to Leviticus or Numbers and you just collapse? Can't continue anymore. Just take it one step at a time. You don't have to read through the whole thing just because the plan tells you to. Maybe you can pivot your goals. Maybe you can pivot your expectations and adjust yourself. Just be realistic about who you are. Because, you know, you're different from me. I'm different from you. I don't expect you to be like me who can read through the Bible in 1 year. If reading 15 minutes a day is a bit challenging, then try 5 minutes a day. In 5 minutes, you can actually read in between 1 to 3 chapters of the Bible per day, depending on your Bible, depending on how fast you read. If you're able to spend 5 to 10 minutes a day reading the Bible, you should finish reading the whole Bible in a little over a year. You see, if you're able to spend an hour binging through TV series or watch YouTube videos, or for the young people, play video games, you should be able to give a fraction of your time to the Lord. No excuses in not reading the Bible. Again, the point is about being in the Word regularly. If you miss a day, that's okay. Pick up where you left off and continue. It may take you more than a year or two to get through the Bible. And if you're somehow ahead of your Bible reading plan, then that may mean you can get through the Bible in less than a year. See, I just want to say that every Christian is different. He's in a different stage in life with different unique circumstances. You know, and we are to be encouraging and compassionate while also trying to exhort one another and challenge one another and helping other brothers and sisters in being consistent in the Word on a regular basis. Even if you don't follow a Bible reading plan, you can still read the Bible on a regular basis. If you can still go through the New Testament in 1 year. Or it can be like me. There's 1 year where I focus on one book of the Bible, and that was the book of Proverbs. I study every single verse in that one whole year, trying to analyze every single word and analyze every verse, trying to understand and discern its meaning. But of course, the downside of that is I start forgetting other books of the Bible, what the story is telling. So I need to, the following year, I refresh myself by reading through the whole Bible in a year. Again, everyone's different. If I can encourage you, if you have not been reading the Bible regularly, focus on one book. Maybe in that 1 month, read through it many times. And then in another month, you can read through it many times again. Read through another book many times. And if you're a beginner of the Bible, you don't know anything about the Bible, I really recommend you to read through the Gospel of John and get to know who Jesus Christ is. And then read through other letters of the Bible so you can know how to live out the Christian life. Therefore, to be filled by God with the knowledge of His will, you are to read the Bible. You should never expect to know God's will for your life without immersing yourself in the Bible. That's my first point. First application, first step. Second is hearing the preaching of God's word. Preaching basically means to proclaim or to herald. It's a public declaration of God's truth and God's message for you, regardless if you and I like the message or not. See, the preaching is not about me. It's not about the pastor. Preaching is also not about you. It's not about satisfying your felt needs. It's not about entertaining you. It's not about massaging your egos. It's all about God's truth being spoken, unfolded, and unleashed from the text of Scripture. You know, preaching sometimes gets a bad rap for some people and even maybe some Christians. Perhaps the most anticipated time in worship service is the music. We get excited for the music. And sometimes we may view worship as just singing songs of praise, which is indeed an aspect of our expression of worship. And then get to preaching. Preaching might be the least interesting part in the worship service. I'm not sure if anyone would want to say that or be honest about that, but for me, it's not. It's the most exciting part. Even as I get the opportunity to visit other churches, I'm looking forward to hearing the preaching of God's word. Just as I also look forward to singing songs of praise. You see, when it comes to preaching, some people get less engaged with worship, but listening and responding to God's word is no less of your worship to God. See, the preaching of God's word is a time for you to learn His word, to learn His word, to know what He is saying. And if you want to learn God's word, take notes during the sermon time. You can always take notes if that helps you to remember what you're learning. The preaching of God's word is a time for you to apply and even obey His word. And the preaching of God's word is a time for you to be reminded of His truth, the same truth that comes from His word. The preaching of God's word is a time for you to learn, to discern if the message that I, as a pastor, am delivering is indeed from His word. See, to listen to God's word, there is a sense of preparing yourself to humbly come to worship the Lord completely, just as I have spent the time preparing myself to worship the Lord through the study of His word, to discern what He wants to say to you from the text. I don't just come up with a message out of the blue. I spend time, hours, studying, understanding what God wants to say to you. So be absolutely aware that listening to a sermon and hearing the sermon is an act of worship to God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may you give 100% focus and love to the Lord by loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength during this time. Therefore, to be filled by God with the knowledge of His will, you have to hear the preaching of God's word. Come to church. Come to church on Sundays, on the Lord's Day, to hear His word. And third, participating in the Bible study. And I encourage you to join a fellowship group at this church and try to make it your priority. I understand that you may have work in the evenings or you feel tired after work and you want to rest, but church should not just happen on Sundays. It should happen another time during the week. Ideally, it should happen every day because the scripture tells us to exhort one another every day. Not only that, when we gather in a small group, we should at least get to know one another better, right? So I encourage you to take advantage of some of the small groups, Bible study groups that we have at OBC in the English ministry. So first, there's Dr. Herb Sturhan, who will continue the Book of Psalm on Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m. on January 10th. We gather at the church library, so all are welcome to join. Mark down your calendar. Come join us and come learn together. Second, there's a women's group that meets every other Wednesday evenings. You can find more information in the bulletin by contacting Esther Lee. Esther is right there. So, and third, if you're a grade 7, grade 12, and if you're a high school student, we gather on the Friday nights at 7:30 p.m. It is led by Leo and myself, so if you want more information about the student ministry, come talk to me. Fourth, if you're in a college and career, they meet on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. You can contact Masao. Masao's right there. Joseph and Jackie for more information. Learn to go to those study groups. And having listed out the groups that we have, I encourage you to fellowship with one another so that we can reflect Acts chapter 2, verse 42, whereby the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and then the prayers. Make it your priority, brothers and sisters, to participate in a small group. Now remember that I mentioned that there's a bonus step. So here it is. Now, being a good steward of technology. Now, this bonus step may not benefit everyone, but hopefully it'll still be helpful and hopefully help you to be amazed at the technology that we have in this world. See, technology is a double-edged sword, but it can be a great value if you know how to use it properly to engage with God's word. If you have a smartphone, there are tons of free Bible apps with audio Bible that you can take advantage of. I think every Christian should have at least one Bible app on their smartphone, if you own one. And here are just some of the Bible apps that I personally use in the top hand, on the top here. There's the ESV Bible, which I normally use. And then there's the Literal Word, which is the New American Standard Bible translation. Then there's the LSB, which is the new translation, known as the Legacy Standard Bible. And then there's the YouVersion of the Bible. So if you're more of an audible learner, then you can follow along with the audio Bible as you're reading through Scripture. In fact, it helps you to keep up your Bible reading. So if you look at the audio Bible sometimes, it'll tell you how long it takes to read through this chapter. So if you are able to commit 5 minutes a day, okay, 5 minutes a day in the audio Bible, I'll click play and I'll follow along. You can also use a device to set a reminder for you to engage and read God's Word every morning or every other day of the week. And furthermore, if you drive or you take transit, you could listen to sermons or audio Bible through podcast apps. Now, just a disclaimer, if you cannot listen to something while driving, don't do that. Just focus on the road. So, but I highly suggest you can take advantage of that. When I was in university, I had to take transit to SFU almost every other morning or every other afternoon. And what I always did was try to, listen to sermons. I grew up listening to a lot of John Piper's sermons. So, and then later on, I shifted and I listened to a lot of John MacArthur's sermons while I was going to school. And while I was transiting from home to school, it was like about 30 minutes to 40 minute transit. And so that's a lot of time to take advantage of, to learn God's Word. And so I highly recommend you to do that. And if you want to know some apps and podcasts, here's some of the folks, some of the men that I like to listen to, like Grace to You, again, John MacArthur, then there's Renewing Your Minds with R.C. Sproul, there's Truth for Life, Alistair Begg, there's The Bible Study with Steve Lawson, and then Canadian guy, Back to the Bible Canada with John Neufeld, and then there's James Montgomery Boyce, The Bible Study Hour. Again, I highly recommend you right now, check out these guys. I'm hoping to see OBC having an app or having a podcast where our sermons can be uploaded onto a Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And so, to follow all those steps, you should have a solid plan. And I suggest that you plan with the end in mind. Don't just say you're going to start reading the Bible right now, but where do you see yourself in your walk with Christ by the end of 2023? Now, I have no issues with folks with making New Year's resolution. That's what they want to do. But my concern is that if you're grounding your new goals and in life based on your emotional high with a new year, new month, new date, I don't want to discourage you, but you may not get very far. Let's face reality. The new year only feels new until next week or February. And then you start like, oh, wow, January went by really fast. Another day just feels like another day, right? And then you start losing that momentum and you start giving up. And see, brothers and sisters, the real work, the real goal settings, the real daily and spiritual discipline of knowing God and be filled with His knowledge happens any time of the year. It doesn't have to just happen a new year. It happens any time of the year. You can start doing it if you start giving up in your Bible reading. You can start again in February or even in March. So don't ground this year based on your feelings or some sort of emotional high, because they will change throughout the year. People and circumstances can change your feelings and your mood. Also, ground yourself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I think this is important because you need to ask yourself the why. Why are you doing this? Is it just because it's a new year? There are a number of reasons based on this letter alone, for why you want to be filled with knowledge. if you go back to Colossians chapter 1, it's because of your faith in Christ. You trusted in him for salvation because of his grace towards you. Or maybe because you want to be filled with God's knowledge because you want to grow deeper in your relationship with God this year. Or maybe because you want to refine your theology so you can discern the truth, and that so that you can be a better leader, a better teacher of God's word. Or maybe to be able to discern truth from falsehood. Or maybe, as the text says in verse 10, you do it because you want to live a life that honors and pleases the Lord. So Thomas Watson, 17th century Puritan, once said this about Bible reading: leave not off reading the Bible till you find your hearts warmed. Let it not only inform you, but inflame you. Let it give you the fire and the passion to live for God's glory this day and forevermore. And so, in just a little bit, we get the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But brothers and sisters, this is a great opportunity. If you're here this morning, if you're listening here in person or are tuning in through a live stream, this is an opportunity for you to renew your commitment and relationship with the Lord. How's your relationship with God lately? Don't just say, good. Tell me why it's good. What makes it good? See, Scripture instructs us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith unless we have failed the test. So my prayer for you is that if you've been stumbling, if you've just been slow, lost motivation in your walk with Christ, maybe it's time for you to ask him and pray to him and call out his name. Will you ask God? Will you ask the Lord to renew your desire to be filled with his knowledge and to please him? Will you ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of his salvation? Will you deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow Christ? I'll commit myself to the Lord again. Demonstrate it. Make it a commitment today and stick to it, no matter what life throws at you. See, if you claim to love Jesus, then you will obey him. Not by your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Now, everything that I've said in the sermon is aimed at believers. However, if you're not a Christian this morning, none of what I said really applies to you because you have not placed your faith in Christ and you have not set your hope that is laid up for you in heaven, as Paul said earlier in this chapter. But Paul does say this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, that you need to hear the word of the truth, which is the gospel. The gospel means good news. If there's anything you want to know, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the gospel, here's the gospel. Gospel means good news. But you need to know the bad news first. The bad news is that you have turned away from God and have sinned against him. And because of that, God responds to your sin with judgment. And if you were to die tonight as an unbeliever, you will be judged by him. And you will be punished eternally in hell because of your sin. And you go there precisely because you are a sinner. So what is the solution to your sin problem? Well, God has a solution to your sin problem. And it is not found in you. It is not found in this world. It is not found in any other philosophy, in any other religion. It is found in Christ alone. God's solution to your sin problem is Jesus Christ, which is what we celebrate during Christmas. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of Virgin Mary, born as a man, to live a perfect and sinless life on our behalf and to die on the cross for our sins, even though we don't deserve that. That he was buried on the third, and on the third day he was raised, and then now he has ascended back to heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And that those who repent of their sins, those who trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, those who count the cost and follow him, their sins will be forgiven. And they can have a relationship with God. And they'll be transformed by the Holy Spirit to live a new life with a new desire and a new heart to love God and to obey God, to follow after Christ no matter the cost. If that is you, if you don't know Christ this morning, you can come to Him right now. You can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You don't need to have the perfect words to come to Jesus, but if you're genuinely convicted of your sin and realize your desperate need for Jesus to save you from your sins and the wrath to come, you can tell God that, I believe, and I want to follow Jesus starting this year, January 1st, 2023. I will believe. I will follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior forever. This is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. Oh, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will open up at least one heart this morning and brought you to your knee before Christ. If that is you, then come to me. Come speak to me afterwards. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Oh Lord, I pray that brothers and sisters who are here, who are listening, that you will fill them with the knowledge of your will so that they can discern who you are and know who you are. Oh Lord God, I ask that you would help us to be disciplined in knowing your word, to be disciplined in Bible reading, to be disciplined in fellowship, to be disciplined in church and in worship. Please remind us of these truths starting this year, and not just today, but forevermore, that they will be stamped in our hearts, written in our hearts, so that we will live a life that obeys you. And if there is someone, at least someone here in this sanctuary who does not know you, and they heard the gospel, I pray that you will speak to them. I pray that they will turn their lives to you and trust Christ for salvation. And Lord, we get to be reminded of that sacrifice that Jesus has paid during this time of celebrating the Lord's Supper. I pray that you will bless our time, that we will reflect and be renewed in our commitment to you and our relationship with you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.